We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Hopefully by now you've heard about T-Squared Social, your new home for Knicks Film School watch parties. The next one on Sunday, April 28th for Game 4 of the Knicks' first round series against the Sixers. Founded by Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake, this place has everything for a sports fan. Watch the entire Knicks, Rangers, and Islanders playoff runs or other sporting events like the Red Hot Mets and Yankees or other NBA playoff games. T-Squared also wants you to know that even when KFS isn't there, you could still join them to watch all Knicks playoff games from a private viewing area that features the largest screen in New York City, or reserve a table, grab a drink, and order a delicious meal while surrounded by their several dozen TV screens. Take this Thursday, for example. The Knicks play Game 3, the Yankees play the Athletics, the Islanders play the Hurricanes, and it's the NFL Draft. If you're a Knicks fan but also want to multitask, T-Squared will make sure you don't miss a meaningful minute of the action. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
Brunson, still no foul. Brunson back up top, 5 on the 24. Ananobi drives, goes inside, leans in, jump shot, won't go. And the rebound goes to Josh Hart, and that'll do it. Knicks hold on. In a tough physical game here at Madison Square Garden. Actually, 2.7 remaining. But they will hold on and take game one.
Gotta have heart. What a fucking game. The New York Knicks. Oh, man. I guess. The New York Knickerbockers, your second-seeded New York Knickerbockers, where for a second there in the first quarter, it looked like maybe the second-seeded New York Knickerbockers shouldn't have wanted any part of being the second-seeded New York Knickerbockers. Just, I'm not going to say escaped game one because they didn't escape, although there was some escape-like qualities to that victory. Took game one from the clutches of the Philadelphia 76ers, 111 to 104, in a game they absolutely needed to win. And I know if they had lost this game, I would have found a way to come on here and rationalize it, say all hope is not lost, and I would have been lying through my goddamn teeth. Because you retook momentum in a game where you absolutely had none of it, captured it, were kind of in control, and then absolutely frittered it away in a third quarter that we will discuss because it was quite unpleasant. And there was so much from this game that is going to set the tone for the rest of this series. But to have Embiid go out for those couple of minutes, and then to have Embiid come back, and then we're going to talk about how he looked when he come back. When he came back, I was not the same guy as he was in the first quarter, but he was pretty damn good. But just to be that close in your own building, I didn't think they could lose the game. Once they got to a certain point, I did not think that they could lose this game and win this series. And yes, I realize I am saying that about a game in which Jalen Brunson took 26 shots and made 8. Give him credit. 22 points, found a way to get 22 points, 22 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds. Like, found ways to help his team. You will not see Jalen Brunson have a worse offensive basketball game than he just had. Maybe that's a step too far. You won't see Jalen Brunson have a worse shooting game than he just had. And again, we're going to talk about all of this stuff as the night goes on, and full coverage between now and game two, and as the series goes on. I thought the Sixers did some really nice things against Jalen Brunson. I thought Jalen Brunson also just missed a lot of shots that he normally makes. And maybe they got in his head a little bit by the end of this game, because he was getting to his spots and they just weren't going down. That being said, when they absolutely needed a bucket from him late there to make it 98-92, he came through. But this game, despite the fact that I wore my JB shirt today, this game is not about Jalen Brunson. Well, actually, you know what? I stand corrected. This game is about Jalen Brunson. It's all about Jalen Brunson, and here's why. You could win regular season games when your best player is not at his best. It's possible. We've seen it. We saw the Knicks win a game this season when Jalen Brunson went out after 47 seconds, and they found a way. Playoff basketball is something different. And in particular, playoff basketball is something different when you are facing one guy who was on track to win MVP and came out looking like the MVP. And even after he got hurt, had quite a few plays there in this game where he looked like the presumptive MVP. And then his sidekick, and yes, that's big air quotes, because Tyrese Maxey didn't look anything like a sidekick tonight. I know it took him 26 shots to get his 33 points, but he was having his way with this Knicks defense, specifically when Embiid was in the game. That's the key. It's when those two are on the court at the same time that it activates Maxey and it makes Joel Embiid basically unguardable. Something happened to Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter of this game, and it was an injury, and I don't think it was fatigue. It was Mitchell Robinson, and we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about all of these guys, because the reason this was a Jalen Brunson game is because you are not supposed to win a game if you are the New York Knicks. I don't care how loud the building is. I don't care how much energy was in Madison Square Garden before the start of this game and throughout many parts of this game. You are not supposed to win a game where Jalen Brunson shoots like that and the two best players on the other team play like that. And yet they did. And how did they do that? Because every other player on the court, forget chipped in, played like this was game 7 of the NBA Finals and came up massive. Josh Hart will be the story of this game, as he should be. There is no player like Josh Hart in the NBA. He is one of one, and I don't just say that because he is 6'4" and he grabs rebounds that he has absolutely no business getting ever in a million years. He is one of one because nobody approaches the game quite like him, where he says, you know what? Not the most athletic guy in the world. I'm not the most skilled guy in the world, but I will outwork you. It doesn't matter if you are my height, if you are 6 inches taller than me, if you're the size of Joel Embiid, I will outwork you, and I will outwork you in minute 1, and I will outwork you in minute 24, and I will outwork you in minute 48. It doesn't matter if in minute 48 I have played 42 of the previous 47 minutes or 41 of the previous 47, because he finished with 42, including, by the way, the entire second half of this game. Josh Hart's 1-1. And the fact that he had as many three-pointers in the fourth quarter of this game as he had in any other game this season shows you what he's made of. And it shows you why he is the heart and soul of this team. And it shows you why this team wouldn't be this team without him, for as much shit as he catches from a lot of people. And he does catch a lot of shit from a lot of people. But it wasn't just Josh Hart. And anybody who watched this game knows damn well it wasn't just Josh Hart. I'm not sure where I want to go to next, because for as much as this is, it's going to go down to the Josh Hart game. There are two players who I think every Knick fan will come away from this game, because Josh Hart is in three threes in the fourth quarter are not a given, but Josh Hart's kind of a given. But the two guys who made the difference in this game, arguably a bigger difference than Josh Hart, are two players who we had every reason to have questions about coming into this postseason for vastly different reasons. One of them was Mitchell Robinson. And Mitchell Robinson, as I'm happy they said it on the broadcast, I think it was Breen that said it, maybe it was one of Doris or JJ. Somebody definitely pointed out, he was on, I think it was Breen, he was on his way to having an all-defense season, to making an all-defense team when he got hurt. And since he came back, he's had flashes. He's had flashes, but flashes aren't going to cut it against Joel Embiid looking like Joel Embiid came out looking tonight. And boy, shows what Smarty Pants me knows, because all I could think of coming into the series was, oh my God, how many minutes could we get out of Isaiah Hartenstein? Can we push Isaiah Hartenstein to like 32 minutes? You know, and is there going to be a role maybe for Precious Achiuwa? Like, if Mitch just isn't, if he's not cutting it and he looks like he's looked for the majority of the time since he came back from this injury a few weeks ago, maybe, I don't know, maybe Precious was switching and maybe a little bit more playmaking. Maybe he gives us a better option. Yeah. Keep listening to what I say. Really hitting the bullseye on that one, because Isaiah Hartenstein, 18 minutes in this game. Precious Achiuwa, obviously 0 minutes in this game. And Mitchell Robinson, in the most minutes he has played since he came back from injury, 30 absolutely massive, massive, massive minutes. The stat line may not really do it justice. 7 offensive rebounds, pretty good, right? Pretty good. We've seen him have games with more. 4 blocks, 8 points, 2 big free throws. His defense on Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter of this game was the stuff that legends are made of. And I know it's only game one, and I guarantee you Joel Embiid is going to get his before this series is over, and probably more than once, because that dude is a freaking beast. I know everybody hates him right now because he pushed Jalen Brunson into the backcourt. What we saw from Joel Embiid tonight, that's a warrior. And that's a guy that any fan base would be crazy not to praise and want on their team. I know he didn't make, you know, some of those shots in the fourth quarter. The dude, for him to come back out there and do what he did was like, what else can you possibly want? And Mitchell Robinson went toe-to-toe with him, as much as anyone can. Mitchell Robinson went toe-to-toe. And between that and the offensive rebounding and the putbacks and the second opportunities, I lost track of how many times I wrote down Mitchell Robinson's name as I was going through, as I was taking notes during this fourth quarter. Multiple massive offensive rebounds, a putback, blocked a Paul Reed 3. Paul Reed, you think you might want to keep your fucking mouth shut? Maybe? Think you maybe learned your lesson after this game? Did nothing. Mitchell Robinson swatted him out of bounds. And then what I thought, maybe my favorite play of the game, non-Josh Hart three-pointer division, Mitchell Robinson battling for that jump ball. Or battling for that rebound. And I know Embiid ended up winning it. And you know, it was, that was a funny tip situation, but it didn't matter. That's laying everything out there. And I said before the series, and I'll say again, win or lose against Philadelphia, I would find it hard to be too upset. I'd be upset, but like to be down on this team, to be angry with this team or upset or annoyed with this team, if they just did it like they've been doing it all season. And tonight, they somehow took what they did all season and they exceeded it. With the exception of Jalen Brunson, who had one of the worst nights you're ever going to see him have. So that's Mitch. And then the other guy, boy, I kind of, there's a part of me that wants to pull up my newsletter that I wrote on Friday. When I forget what exactly I said, but it was something to the effect of, boy, Deuce McBride, he has one more field goal in his playoff career than me and you do. Are we sure we could trust Dusu Pride to like have the courage to take the threes that the Sixers are going to give him, let alone make the threes that the Sixers are going to give him? Like, is he going to get gun shy? Is he going to be able to, like, you know, if he has an opportunity to run the offense, is he going to be able to, you know, competently like direct things if the ball isn't in Jalen Brunson's hand? Again, talk about hitting bullseyes. Dusu Pride, this is I'm sorry, I've never seen this number, this sort of disparity before in my life. Dusu Pride played 28 minutes in this game. He was played 28 minutes in this game in a game they won by 7 points. They didn't win by 17. They didn't win by 27. They won by 7 points. And in Dusu Pride's 28 minutes, he was a plus 37. And there is nothing about that number that is a misnomer in the slightest. Because for as much as Dusu Pride's 21 points and is 7 of 12 from the field and is 5 of 7 from deep, including hitting his first four, and oh my Lord, the momentum of those threes, one after another, after another, after another, like, because the Knicks, like, they were, look, they were never dead in the water, to be very clear. Like, they were, like, these Knicks are never out of it. You know they're going to come back. But the reason they come back in these games is because of someone stepping up. And often it is a person stepping up, and it is that person inspiring the collective of individuals around them. And for as much as Joel Embiid coming back on the court in the third quarter inspired his teammates, I thought Dusu Pride's play went from the moment he checked into the game in the first half inspired his teammates. He came in and was part of a lineup. Mitchell Robinson, Bojan Bogdanović, OG Anunoby, and Jalen Brunson. That lineup had played 0 minutes together. Zero. Zip. Nada. Before this game. And Tibbs ran with it because why wouldn't you? And they caught a flow, and it was the difference in the game. That second quarter was the difference in the game, because if they don't go up there in the second quarter and like Philly comes out and does what they did in the third quarter, I don't know if the Knicks have, I don't think they have enough to push it back. So, and then of course Deuce hit a massive three to make it 91-86. Let's not forget that. So yeah, Mitch and Deuce, but they weren't the only heroes, obviously. And just like Josh Hart wasn't the only hero. OG Anunoby, obviously the biggest moment for him was the made three the Hart three was really sealed it. Cause after the OG three, Lowry hit a three to bring it back within four. Like, Philly could have won the game still at that point without any kind of craziness happening. Even so, that OG three, not a corner three, an above the break three. But that buries what I think was by the way, the streak is over. I know it's a regular season streak, but OG Anunoby was a negative in this game. It's the first time he's been a negative in a game as a Knick, and they still won. So that's a good sign. You know, he had one steal. He had no blocks. I thought OG defensively, I thought he was every bit the impact player. Even though there wasn't the splash plays, and even though there, you know, maybe not a lot of highlights, he was absolutely impacting what Philadelphia did and was able to do. And I thought just a really, really solid game from OG Anunoby. And the only other guy that I want to mention, and you know where I'm going to finish this off with, is Bojan Bogdanović. And again, you need all of these guys. If you're going to overcome a JB game like that and an Embiid and a Maxi game like that, Bojan Bogdanović, talk about saving his best for when it counts. Second to Deuce, plus 27 in 25 minutes. He was only 4-12 from the field, but anybody watching this game knows the impact of his makes were massive. Finished with 13 points. How about 7 big rebounds from Bojan Bogdanović? Again, you don't do what you did tonight if you're the Knicks without contributions from everyone. You don't out-rebound the Philadelphia 76ers. Again, it's like we're looking at some fake numbers here. It's like the Brunson shooting line was a fake number. The deuce plus minus line was a fake number. Here's another one that looks like a fake number. On a team with Joel Embiid on it, and a team that runs out oftentimes lineups where like four players at once are over 6 foot seven or 6 foot seven or higher. This Philadelphia 76ers got out rebounded 55 to 31. That is some Thibodeau shit right there. And yes, part of it is this is a team full of Thibodeau players, but that's some Tom Thibodeau shit right there. A descendant of Jeff Van Gundy, a descendant of Pat Riley, no rebounds, no rings. 55 to 33, including, my Lord, 23-9 on the offensive glass. You want to tell me that this Knicks team isn't just like built to outwork their opponent? They were not the better team tonight. Like, in terms of the things that often decide playoff games, like how good are the best players playing? Like, who's making more shots? The Knicks won this game despite shooting 39.6% from the field. 44.4% for Philadelphia. And I know the Knicks made up for it with a lot of big threes. They shot 45.7% from three. But you know what? Credit to them for taking them and credit to them for making them. But they got nothing done inside the arc. The free throw at the end of the day, 28 for the Knicks, 22 for Philly. I didn't have any problem with the whistle. I know fans were booing Joel at the end there. Like, he's been getting those calls his whole life. He's going to get those calls all series long. I don't mind them. This was a want it game. This was a want it more game. It's what it is. One team wanted it more than the other team. And that's no shade against the Philadelphia 76ers, who I thought came in and, I mean, when you want to talk about took it to the Knicks in the first quarter there, absolutely took it to the Knicks. And I think the Knicks, you know, I want to save some of the actual nitty gritty stuff for as we go through the live stream. But I thought, again, it's all about the head of the snake, right? So if you can make Jalen Brunson uncomfortable, and again, we could talk about like how good were his quality of shots? Were they acceptable? Were they mediocre? Were they subpar? What the Knicks were doing to get him looks, I thought was as good of it as anything as they could do to get him looks. But there's no question that Philadelphia made him uncomfortable. And I think when you make Jalen Brunson uncomfortable, which they did, and they succeeded at doing, honestly, almost all the way through the game, it just throws everything else off. And I thought when you saw the Knicks come out there in the first quarter and they went down by whatever they went down by, I think 10 or 12 points at one point, it was just because they were kind of all out of sorts. And the other reason they were kind of all out of sorts is Joel Embiid. And you saw that manifest itself throughout the entire game, where even though Embiid on a couple of possessions either couldn't grab a defensive rebound or couldn't contest, you know, Mitchell Robinson pulling one down and getting it back up, he was absolutely remained an intimidating force in the Knicks' heads when any Knick, except Mitch, got anywhere close to the rim. So, like, the Sixers did some real good stuff. Before game one, I thought Embiid's health was, I mean, far and away, goes without saying, the most important factor in the series. After game one, I still think Embiid's health is going to be far and away the most important factor in the series, because the guy that we saw in the first quarter, man, can't stop that dude. And you can't stop a team that he's on, because when you put him on the floor with Maxey, it's basically like, all right, pray three-point shooters miss, and let's try to really make hay in the minutes he's off the court. And even then, it's just so tough. Like, there's a reason their net rating was what it was with him. There's a reason their record was what it was with him. There's a reason the net rating with the two of those guys on the floor at the same time. Like, this series is not over. I should go without saying, this series is not over. Had to have game one. Had to have game one. Series is not over. It's a long way from over. They will fight. I mean, we'll see how Embiid's knee holds up. I'm just looking at a quote from Tibbs. This is courtesy SNY. Sorry. This is from Nick Nurse. Give them credit. We're probably okay with some of those shots, but they hit them. Yeah. I mean, Nick Nurse tonight, like, how do you go to sleep if you're Nick Nurse? Like, you coached a great game. Your defensive game plan worked. It should have worked. You got that you got Josh Hart taken three after three after three after three, and Josh Hart decided to have the best shooting night of his season. He saved it for when it mattered the most. What did he finish with? 4 of 8. 4 of 8 from downtown. My goodness. And Deuce, 5 of 7. So, yeah. I mean, Nick Nurse, you got to live with it because, like, what else are you going to do? You did what you could do and you lost. Thankfully, we don't have to live in that reality right now. Whew, man. What a fucking game. What a win. So massive. I don't know what this team's going to do from here. I don't know how they're going to even do the rest of the series, but can't be proud of a basketball team. Can't. It's not possible. Cannot be proud of a team than what we are of these Knicks. And that is the part that isn't surprising in the least, because they've been doing it all season long. It's who they are. It's what they're about. It's what gets them out of bed in the morning.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Okay, I think on that note, let's move on. We have a couple of segments here. Starting with the player of the game. Yes, a new segment presented by our friends at Autograph. So here's what we want you to do. You're going to go download the Autograph app. All you have to do is go into wherever you get your apps, search for Autograph. I'm pretty sure a link will be in the description of this episode, and use code KFS. And if you do that, if you spend some time on the Autograph app, you're going to get rewarded for your Knicks fandom. Seriously, you go on there, you read one of my newsletters, you listen to one of our pods, read some of the great content that other content creators put out about the Knicks or about any team. You're going to get credit for all of it. And the more credit you get, the more stuff you win. You can win discounted tickets, all kinds of great stuff. It is a really revolutionary app that we're happy to partner with for this playoff run. So again, player of the game presented by Autograph. Do I get too cute here? What even is getting too cute? Like, there are three just absolute incredible candidates. And I'm really genuinely torn. I could give it to any one of these three guys, and I oh man, I'm struggling. Can you tell I'm struggling? I'm gonna go Josh Hart. And if you're gonna yell and scream and say, "How in God's name could you not pick Deuce McBride?" or "How in God's name could you not pick Mitchell Robinson?" I don't blame you one bit. Truly, I don't blame you one bit. I think Mitchell Robinson did the most with the toughest job tonight. I think Deuce McBride was the best player of the game, which I guess is the name of this. It is the player of the game. And yet, it would be tough for me to give the player of the game to a player to someone other than Hart, because I do think that he was most responsible for them at the end of the day, after everything was said and done, for them coming out with the W, with those 4 made threes, with 22 points, and with 13 freaking rebounds, including 4 on the offensive glass, to go with a couple assists to steal. Like, really tough decision. incredibly tough decisions for our first player of the game presented by Autograph, but I'm going to go with Hart. Feel free to yell and scream at me if you want. I will take no offense. All right. Next up, we are going to our out-of-town scoreboard. Playoff out-of-town scoreboard presented by T-Squared Social. Shout out to everybody who was at the KFS watch party tonight at T-Squared Social down the block from Grand Central Station, where if you go in and you tell them KFS sent you, you will get a free draft beer. You could also go to tsquaredsocial.com to learn about club memberships, trivia nights. Who doesn't love a good trivia night? Sports leagues and much more. So again, shout out to the watch party. Here is our out of town scoreboard again, presented by T-Squared Social. Okay. Cavaliers. In what was a not the most aesthetically pleasing game earlier today, beat the Magic 97-83. Donovan Mitchell had a really nice game. The Orlando Magic, I saw someone tweeted out, I believe it was Nate Duncan, that during the relevant portion of the game, before things really got out of hand, the Magic were scoring 50 points per 100 possessions, which is not exactly a recipe for success. That said, I thought the Magic, like, you know, other than not being able to make anything from the field, I thought they like showed up, you know, they made Cleveland's life difficult. They just couldn't do anything with it. And I'll be curious to see where that series goes from here. I picked Cleveland. So, you know, there's that. And then the Timberwolves in a statement, in an absolute statement. And this game was close. It was at least, you know, around 10 points for a lot of the game until the Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards in particular absolutely ran away with this thing, ended up beating Phoenix 120-95. The Suns, you figured the Suns were going to have some answers against Minnesota's defense, the double bigs with all of their shooting. And like, they did for a while, and then they just kind of ran out of gas because they couldn't stop Minnesota. And Minnesota, I mean, Nikhil Alexander-Walker was up for the challenge. Minnesota just played a really strong game offensively in particular and defensively. They just played an awesome game. They won by 25 points. And now, currently going on, the Lakers up 45-37 on the second-seeded Nuggets. So we'll see how that game turns out. I imagine we will be on for a while, so maybe I will have a final score to report at some point. And I think that is all she wrote. My understanding is there was at least one super chat from before the game. So we got Kev. Kev Words is on the ones and twos tonight. I'm going to ask him to let me know how many super chats were from either before the game or from before the game is over. Although maybe I'll be able to figure it out as we go along. But I think this first super chat was from like many hours before the game. So we will get things started as I take a sip of my wine. Oh, this is only one before the game started from 1:29 p.m. Here we go. Knicks fan patrol. Let's fucking go. He was excited. He was excited many hours before tip off at 1:29 p.m. What was I doing? I was watching. I was actually watching the game at home, although I was watching parts of both games from on my phone from the park because I was alone with my youngest daughter for most of the day. Thanks, Knicks Fan Patrol, for getting us started off. Okay. Onwards and upwards. Oh, and then another one from Knicks Fan Patrol. Deuce! Dolan, for fuck's sake, gives the fans some t-shirts. Did they not give out t-shirts? I don't really care about that. Sorry, Knicks Fan Patrol. Oh, Kev says he thought they did. I have no idea. Thanks, Knicks Fan Patrol. Again. Robert W. Cross, I knew it was coming soon. It's your boy John, my two favorite Knicks, Ice McBride and Money Mitch. You know, I'm happy for you, Robert. And I mean this genuinely. I shit thee not. Because you are the best kind of fan in that you don't want a team full of mercenaries. You don't want, like, you want homegrown. Even if they're not homegrown stars, you want your homegrown players to lead the charge. And how fitting was it that, again, I know I gave the player of the game to Josh Hart, But the two Knicks that I think for any Knick fan worth their salt will define this game are two guys who this team drafted and developed. And the last two guys on the roster that they drafted and developed. And I'm going to say it's especially meaningful for Mitch. I know I wrote about this earlier. I'll say it again because I just think it's kind of wild. Like, putting aside all-star level players, because it's, you know, you would expect all-star type players to stay on a team for an extended period of time, like Steph Curry, like Nikola Jokic, like all those sorts of guys. Mitchell Robinson has now spent 6 full regular seasons with the Knicks. There are only 4 players in the entire NBA, 5 if you count Jonathan Isaac, but Jonathan Isaac missed 2 full seasons, who have been with their teams for longer than Mitchell Robinson and have never made an all-star team. Miles Turner and Kevon Looney have both been with their teams for 9 seasons. We'll see if Kevon Looney's back on Golden State. Jamal Murray, who should have been an all-star at some point, he's been with the team, Denver Nuggets, for 8 seasons. And then Maxi Kleber, who's been with the Dallas Mavericks for 7 seasons. And then there's Mitch, who's tied with Anthony Simons and Duncan Robinson. he has been here since the dark times. And as for Deuce, I mean, you again, if you saw this coming, I mean, fuck, if you saw this coming, go play, stop listening to me and go play fucking Lotto. And then don't super chat it. DM me whatever the numbers that you picked are, please. If you saw this coming, this. But if you just believed in him as a guy who would like figure it out on offense and like the defense would be enough to carry the day until that point, take a bow, run a victory lap, do a shot, do whatever you're going to do. Because I had real doubts. I'm just being upfront. I had real doubts even in the middle of the season. It's got to be fun for you, Robert. It's got to be fun for you. Okay. Thanks, Robert. Sergio Acosta, very generous super chat, Sergio. Halftime. Oh, wow. We're still in the middle of the game. Okay. Sucks Embiid got hurt, but we were up before he went down. We were. Obi, Grimes, and IQ were the guys we loved, but it was always Deuce. He's a dog. Win or lose, up 12 with Brunson, not playing great. Let's go, Knicks. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people love RJ. Like, don't forget about RJ there. I mean, I was the biggest RJ fan, but RJ Barrett was a massive part of this team. And so it was Quickly and Obi and Grimes a little bit less so. But like, they were all part of the journey. If you're telling me that Deuce is the one who, like, it's the most fitting that he's the one who's still here, I'm agreeing with you, and please don't anybody take that as a putting down of the other guys, because I thought all those guys were like Knicks, like true, like even Obi, who like, you know, wasn't the best on defense, like that dude gave a shit, like all those guys cared, all those guys wanted it, like the Grimes possession where he was on one leg against Jimmy Butler in the playoffs last year, like that's, you're never going to have a better moment than that in terms of like wanting it and being like a true like gritty pro. But Deuce just, he eats, breathes, sleeps this stuff. So incredible for him to have this game one moment. Thanks, Sergio. Knicks Fan Patrol with another one. Respectfully, Embiid fucked around and found out. All right. I get it. I get what you're saying. But to Embiid's credit, he was out there to start the third quarter. And I didn't think he would be. I thought he was done for the game. I'm be honest. I thought he was done for the game. I mean, I was already thinking like, oh shit, is he going to play in game 2? But he came back and he looked pretty good. He didn't look the same. Didn't look the same, especially on defense. For as much as the Knicks didn't want to challenge him at the rim, That was the other big development. They put him in deep drop. I mean, Brunson got him once for a three. And I did think it kind of, maybe kind of a little bit sort of opened things up for the Knicks when they saw that Embiid, you know, at least wasn't coming out as much. But like what they scored, 111 points. And after scoring 58 in the first, so they scored 58 in the first half, 53 in the second half. So for as much as Embiid was may have been limited, like the Knicks actually scored less in the second half. Like, it's going to be tough moving forward with him out there. Thanks, Knicks Fan Patrol. Dylan DeAndrea. What's going on, Dylan? So how about those non-Brunson minutes? The deuce is loose and juiced. I feel like I have to quote one of my, probably my favorite basketball podcast, if I'm being honest, and that's the Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst and the two Tims. And Brian is, the last few episodes, has reminded everybody that throw the regular season out the door. And he would even catch himself because he'd refer to the regular season. And they'd be like, I know I said the regular season doesn't mean anything. Crazy shit happens in the playoffs. Like, guys have unexpected bad games. Like, think back to 3 years ago. Who among us could have ever fathomed after Julius Randle owned Atlanta all season long that he was going to come out and have a series that would make us question whether he should like be on the team anymore, you know? And then, like, Emmanuel Quickley, like, in so many ways, last season was like kind of defined by Quickley, the regular season at least, as almost as much as Brunson. It really was. And, you know, and Randle, obviously, but like Quickley's the guy, like, I think so many Knicks fans will remember from that season. And then we got to the playoffs and like just it didn't have it, you know, it just wasn't there. Mitchell Robinson, best player against Cleveland. Nothing against Miami. Like, and again, no one's blaming these guys for any of us. Just like, I'm not going to sit here and blame Jalen Brunson for having a really bad shooting night, but it just goes to show you go into series and you have all these givens like, well, Jalen Brunson is going to do this. And you know, Dante DiVincenzo is going to do that. And so on and so forth. By the way, I didn't mention DiVincenzo. His three, well, the Sixers were pouring it on there in the third quarter. His three to stop the bleeding a little bit. And I know the Sixers continued their run after that three. I thought that was a big three to stem the tide just a little bit for momentum. But like DiVincenzo didn't have the game we expected him to play. And I think Tibbs admitted that DiVincenzo only played 24 minutes. Minus 23 in 24 minutes. So, you know, but yeah, the deuce was loose and he was juiced. After all, we could think about was how are they going to survive the number on some minutes. Thanks, Dylan. Sergio Acosta, this is New York. Sparta. I haven't seen that movie in a hot minute. What's his, I'm forgetting the director's name. Zack Snyder. I know Snyder's kind of fallen out of favor, but that's a badass movie. Thank you, Sergio. As the Nuggets are on a 10-0 run, they're only down by two now. Robert W. Cross with another one. First time, long time, it's your boy John Money Mitch. Remember the name. I told you during the game. Or maybe it was right before the game. No, I think I said it right before the game. If Mitch was going to look like Mitch, massive. I mean, you cannot. Not as big as Embiid looking like Embiid, which, again, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But I think now that Mitch has come out and done this, I think you can feel confident that this is the version of Mitchell Robinson that we will see moving forward in the playoffs. I'm not saying he's going to have, you know, seven offensive rebounds every time he plays and play. Like, again, you're going to need everybody against Embiid. Tonight, it was not Hardenstein's night against Embiid. It was Mitch's night against Embiid. There will be nights this series where it's going to be Hardenstein's night. But they don't win the game without Mitchell Robinson. In no uncertain terms, they don't win the game without Mitchell Robinson. And you have not been able to say that. I think maybe you could have said that in one game since he's been back. Maybe. Thanks, Robert. Ryan Huang, what's going on, Ryan? Give Josh Hart the keys to the fucking city and give Deuce and Mitch some mini keys or something. I like that. Nobody's scoring on Deuce OG Mitch. Let's fucking go. Yeah, so the death lineup, as it were, seemed to be in this game the four key figures, the three you just mentioned, Deuce, OG, and Mitch. Like the OG's always going to be out there. Like, and you know Brunson's always going to be out there. Like those are the two guys that are going to that just have the total trust of Thibodeau. And like right behind them is Josh Hart. Is there a world where Josh Hart is just like not looking like Josh Hart in a game despite what he did tonight, and Tibbs maybe gives him a little bit longer stint on the bench? Sure. But the reason you can't really do that with Josh Hart is because tonight, for, I don't know, maybe like almost through much of the third quarter, Josh Hart was kind of having one of those nights where it's like, oh man, should Josh Hart be on the court? Like there was a point in time late in the third quarter where I was like really thinking to myself, man, they're not guarding him at all. He's made 1-3. I think he was one for five at the time. And I was like, man, and it's like, not that he was like a zero on offense, but, and he certainly wasn't a zero in the game. He was doing a lot of the usual Josh Hart stuff, but specifically on offense, I thought that there was a little, he wasn't quite the guy that we've seen him be when he's at his best, like driving and making passes and making those little, you know, 12, 14 foot fadeaways and really being a, like everything that Josh Hart's capable of being. Late third quarter, I didn't think we were really seeing that version of Josh Hart. And then, but you leave him in because he's a foxhole guy. He's a foxhole guy. Come hell or high water, you want him in your foxhole. So JB, OG, Josh, and then the other two, Mitch and Deuce. That was the lineup. And I meant to look it up before. And I'm going to, so I said earlier, Mitch, OG, Deuce, Jalen, and Bogey had not played any minutes together this season. If we swap out Bogey for Hart, which again was the lineup that closed the game, that lineup this season had played a grand total before tonight of 8 possessions with a 50 offensive rating. Speaking of 50 offensive ratings. So it just goes to show, again, the playoffs are a time when you have to be ready, willing, and able to adjust to what the situation gives you. And they did that tonight. Thanks, Ryan. Will Oliver, what's going on, Will? They picked up Brunson like he did for them all year. That's my favorite comment of the night so far. Absolutely. They owed him. They owe him a few. Because he saved their bacon a lot of times. Like, would I bet my mortgage that Jalen Brunson is going to come out and have a much better game too? I don't know about that, but I would think about it. I would think about that he's going to. Now, he's going to need to because, again, Josh Hart is not going to hit 4 threes probably again in a game in this series. And by the way, if he doesn't, how do the Knicks adjust? Or do they just keep telling them, like, look, fire away and we'll deal with the consequences. So what if the next game, instead of going 4-for-8, he goes 2-for-8, you know, and how do the Knicks deal with that? No, if Brunson has a big time game, the difference of him hitting 4 threes versus 1 or 2 threes, maybe not a big deal. I wonder if we can't look at tonight and say, the most valuable thing that Josh Hart was, he took them, like he attempted them. I'm inclined to say no, because I think the Sixers are going to look at what happened tonight and they're going to be like, we lost because of a black swan event. Josh Hart hitting 4 of 8 threes, including 3 in the fourth quarter. We're going to stick with that strategy because we like what it allows us to do, which is to make Jalen Brunson's life difficult. So Jalen Brunson is going to need to be better. He is absolutely going to need to be better. Especially since, like,
I'm not sure how many of these other guys you could ask to be better. You can't ask Deuce to be better. You can't ask Mitch to be better. You can't ask. Honestly, I'm not really sure how you could ask OG to be much. I thought OG played a really good game. And you can't ask Hart to be better. Bogey, maybe he's a little bit better. Dante, but again, it's like you only could have five guys on the court. So like Dante not having the biggest game in the world tonight wasn't that huge of a deal because there were other guys ready to step in for him. You know, Hartenstein, you know, took some of the floaters that he usually makes. He didn't make him tonight. Like, he'll be a little bit better, but like they just need Brunson to be better, especially since the Sixers, again, didn't have a great night from three tonight. That'll rebound at some point. Thanks, Will. What's up, Knicks fans? You know, the other day I was talking to two girls who were telling me how into foreplay they are and how they wish they had more single guys to do it with. No, not that foreplay. We're not looking to get teed up on the pod. I'm talking F-O-U-R-P-L-A-Y foreplay. It's an app where single friends team up and double date other single friends. It's a more fun, lower pressure, and safer way to meet new people, which is exactly why single girls love it. In fact, they love it so much that they make up the majority of teams on the app, as in a 3-to-1 ratio in your favor. Back when I was single, I would have definitely loved this. Look, we all know everything is better with a friend. Just ask Josh and Jalen, even if Brunson won't admit it. And with foreplay, you don't have to sacrifice bromance for romance, because it's a chance to enjoy a night out with a buddy while meeting two new people in a more social environment without any expectation. And the icing on the cake, it's totally free. All right, it's game time. So head over to the App Store now and download foreplay, F-O-U-R-P-L-A-Y, and get ready for a little 2-on-2 pickup. Busy, what's going on, Busy? This has been the Knicks all year.
Yep.
A role player elevating their game, doing things we never thought they could get. They could. Game one down. I don't want to read the last part. There's three broom emojis with loading next to it. I have, as will shock nobody, I have way too much respect for the Philadelphia 76ers to think that this is going to be a sweep or anything close to it. Massive game. I think we may look back on this game as the game that decided the series. I still think this is going to be a long series. I think the Sixers are good. If Embiid, again, if Embiid can make it through, and he might not make it through. He might not make it through. We just don't know. Thank you, Busy. Hush Zoo, what's going on, Hush? Was that the ledge of my window? Josh Hart and Deuce McBride saved my life for another day. Big Mitch is back. The Brunson game is coming confident. I think Knicks fans, I'll tell you this, I'm a hell of a lot more confident now than I was going into this game. I was extremely nervous. And then after that first quarter, my confidence level was not, let's just say my confidence level was lower than the level of my wine when I poured my glass tonight, which this is the only thing I'm drinking tonight. So I'm being good. The Brunson game is coming. I am confident. Think it's going to be a tough series, and I'm excited to see how it plays out. Thank you, Hush. Ja, so focus. What's going on, Ja? Turns out winning the Deuce minutes dictates the series. Winning them by 37 points. Seriously. Winning minutes by 37 points. I feel like, my God, Tommy Beer usually has things like this. I don't know. Maybe he already tweeted something about it. but I'm curious if it has ever been a guy in the playoffs specifically. I wonder if I could look this up while I'm live streaming here. A guy in the playoffs who played as few minutes as Deuce played in this game
and had a larger plus minus. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. Thank you, Ja. Justin, what's going on, Justin? Mitch played his ass off. Love to see him battle. He's never battled. I don't think. I really don't know that he's ever battled like this. That man, Joel went up for that rebound, and Mitch was like, "Get the fuck out of here." And he was. There were two other guys in it there. I think Hart was in there too. I think it was Hart. I'm not sure if it was Hart though. That play symbolizes everything. That play absolutely symbolizes everything the team is about. And I'm so happy. It has to be pointed out that the longest tenured Nick, that the longest tenured Nick is the guy who made the play. It's incredibly fitting. It's incredibly fitting. All right. So Deuce McBride tonight played 28 minutes. Which is not nothing, but it's not everything. And as I said, he was a plus 37 in the game. All right, here we go. Fetching results right now. Thank you, Justin. Patrick Klass, call me Thomas because I was doubting. Yeah, we all were. You know, I think you mean we were doubting Josh Hart. I was doubting. So it's okay if you were doubting him too. Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate you, man. Okay, so this is not the first time this has happened. I don't know how far back, and I'll read Dan Hidalgo's comment here. Philly did a great job speeding us up on offense, especially in the first. Baited us all night. But a dub is a dub is a dub. All hail King Hart. Let me address this and then I'll read the Deuce stat. Completely agree. I thought they were everywhere. I thought they really utilized their length. I thought Joel in the first half before he went out, his ability to get up to the level and really just put a lot of pressure on the Knicks and they just didn't respond as well as they should. I thought their when they put two on the ball with Brunson, when Brunson had the ball, I thought their recovery to the roll man, whoever it was really, really fast. I thought their positioning was exceptional on defense throughout, again, especially the first half, but really throughout the game. And then I thought they kind of wore down the Knicks. Kind of ground them down as we got more and more through the second half. And like, that's when I really felt like Brunson got good looks and he just didn't convert them. Okay. Here's the Deuce stat. I don't know how far back Basketball Reference goes with box plus minus, but according to what I am seeing right here, there have only been 16 players in NBA history who played 28 or fewer minutes in a playoff game and were at least plus 37 in said game. Fittingly enough, two of them played for Tibbs on the 2015 Chicago Bulls when they beat the Bucks 120-66. Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah only played 25 minutes apiece in that game. Here's the thing, and this is why Deuce's performance stands out. I'm looking through all the scores of all of the games in which someone, again, played at least 28 minutes and was at least a plus 37. The closest one of these games in terms of margin of victory was 19 points. And that is Eric Dampier was a plus 37 in 23 minutes when the Dallas Mavericks defeated the San Antonio Spurs on April 23rd, 2009. The next closest margin of victory was 20 points. Next closest was 21. And then after that, everything after that was at least a 25-point margin of victory. Again, this was a 7-point fucking game. and Deuce McBride did what he did. You could argue based on these stats that you it was as, again, I mean, this is hyperbolic to say this, but like that, if you're just looking at the numbers of the final score, his minutes, and the impact of the plus minus, find me another player who had a bigger impact, you know, on a big playoff win. This is a guy who, again, last playoffs didn't play more than 5 minutes in a game. This guy who was out of the rotation before the OG trade. Incredible. Thank you, Dan.